You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Imagine calling it from the Beef Baron to play Take It or Leave It trivia, hoping to win your wife a birthday present.
Never know.
That's a well-respected move.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Happy Valentine's Day, Brian.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jonas Siegel, our special guest. Happy Valentine's Day.
Is that something you're supposed to say to, like, a buddy? I don't think it is.
Really?
I think you can be very liberal with that. Why not? Why can't we all celebrate Valentine's Day? What's wrong with that? Why does it only have to be
I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. I think it's the stupidest, cheesiest, biggest loser holiday ever.
Yeah, but if your girl wants you to celebrate it, guess what you're going to do?
No.
Yeah, you are. 100%.
No.
Every guy says the same thing.
Well, that's not an issue for me.
I hear you. It is for me. It is for Jonas. So even if I happen to feel the same way you do.
So you get the cheesy roses in a card, and your wife's like, oh, thanks, Brian, so romantic.
No, because my wife is not, she doesn't care that much either.
Dude, if you go into any card store the last 24 hours, there are men confused out of their minds staring at Valentine's
Day. It's the greatest sight on
earth. It's like a herd of cattle.
It's the greatest sight. They're all staring at the exact same section at whatever drugstore or a Hallmark or whatever. Every guy in there, usually day of, maybe the day before, and looking for a card that is so generic, so corny, and he's just going to strap a few words on it, put his name, and then here you go.
Well, but wait, what are you advising that people do? Just nothing? Just completely ignore it? Just wake up in the morning, pretend like it's another day?
I think it needs to be completely ignored.
I don't think that's going to go over well with a lot of people.
See, I think it would be a lot more popular if it was a day off work. Like, if you make it a national holiday, I can get behind Valentine's Day, right? Like, that's the only time I really take a day of celebration seriously, is if I get to take the day off. I think I can speak for most people.
What about Family Day? Take that seriously?
No, because we don't get it off here.
We don't get Monday off?
We don't get Monday off.
I got news for you, pal.
Well, you better start sending that email in because we do not get it off.
Why don't we get it off?
Because it's a national company and Family Day is a provincial holiday. We work for Bell Media, which is a...
We all have families.
Great. You're preaching to the choir, dude. I wouldn't mind taking it off, but we don't get it off. I'm sure you can if you send the email in, but it's going to cost you a day. We do not get it off automatically. That's my understanding anyway. And Valentine's Day, I mean, we're in here. Why wouldn't we be in here? There's a lot of great things to talk about today. And actually, we got a giveaway that we're going to get to. Our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza, they sent our friend Sarah in with a bunch of wheels and a bunch of wings. And we're giving away 3 2-for-1 Pizza gift cards worth $100 each. That, you slide one of these into the card, hand it over to your woman. She's going to be very happy with you. And this is the way you can get involved today. Tweet us your worst Valentine's Day man move. So what is the dumbest thing you've done on Valentine's Day?
Like, did you go out and get drunk with your buddies? What stupidity? Like, did you not come home? Did you forget the card? Don't save that one. If you forgot to get something, that's just too standard.
Give us something significant.
Yes.
Like a real man move that caused you a lot of problems.
Something.
Tweet us at Overdrive1050 using the hashtag man move for a chance to win. So we're giving away 3 different gift cards courtesy of our friends down at 2-for-1 Pizza. Shout out to Sarah who brought it in. You were nice enough to help her.
I was.
You made sure that the table was cleared.
All those things. That was my little mini man move.
That was a very Valentine's-esque of you. Thought that was very sweet. But, I think tonight I'm going to grab some food, and we're going to watch the Leaf game and watch the Raptor game tonight.
See,
that's my plan for Valentine's Day.
Your wife probably thinks, What, like, what? Why,
no, she doesn't really care that much. Like, Valentine's Day, again, I think early in relationships, it's a bigger day. Like, our first Valentine's Day was a big day. We met on New Year's, so it was like 6 weeks into our relationship and getting to know each other.
What was your move that Valentine's
Day? I had some man moves going that night. We had a dinner set up. I think we went to a movie.
So how long before you're just like, eh?
Probably 2 or 3 years in. By that point, it's like flowers, card, good to see you. Let's hang out. Let's be nice to each other. But it's not like the end of the world, right?
Maybe some hanky-panky.
Save that for the tweets, at Overdrive1050, hashtag man moves. We're making a rare move today, a rare gesture, where we have sent an invite to our friend Sam Mitchell to come back on the show today. Sam was in studio yesterday.
What time is this going to go down?
Sam's coming in at 5:30. And he's going to break down this Serge Ibaka trade. And it's got the whole city buzzing, the whole NBA buzzing. I can't find a Raptor fan, a Raptor media member, or a national NBA media member who doesn't love this trade for the Raptors.
What would there be not to love? Like, let's say you were playing devil's advocate and you were trying to say, like, this trade is bad because what?
Maybe the fear that Ibaka would walk at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But it appears to be a foregone conclusion. He's going to re-sign here. Because he and Masai have history. Ibaka's agent is the same agent as Kyle Lowry has. And Ibaka has been on the record for years saying he loves it in Toronto. And this is exactly what they need. They need a flexible four. They need someone who can play the power forward position, stretch the floor out, very strong defensively, three-time All-NBA defense. This is precisely what they've been looking for a long time. So I can't even give you a devil's advocate. Because I've never been a big fan of Terrence Ross. I think he's way too inconsistent. I think his style of play has personified what the issues have been for the past month and a half. Doesn't fight through adversity. Way too often just disappears on both sides of the court. So you're moving on from Terrence Ross, which I don't have a problem with because I think Norman Powell may be a better player today. If not, with more minutes, I think he will become a better player than Terrence Ross. So you've opened up opportunities for Norman Powell.
What's the purpose of this trade? Is it to just get out of this stretch? Is it to...
No, it's to give you... Actually, that's probably part of it. Because, like, to me, I don't know if you felt this, Hayes. Like
there's three different elements. Is it to be better suited to compete with Cleveland? Is it because Kyle Lowry came out and said something? Is it because of their recent poor play? Or
all of the above? All of the above. It felt like for a while that they were just waiting for something to happen. Like there were all these rumors.
Well, now it's on the players then.
Well, because there were all these rumors at one point in the year that they were going to go out and trade for Paul Millsap. And then that didn't happen. Then they went into a tailspin and it just felt like they were just waiting. Like they knew, I'm sure players aren't stupid. They know exactly like we are. They weren't good enough to beat Cleveland. They were just like kind of sitting in the number two spot. It was never going to happen. And you kind of said, I don't know if what you made of Kyle Lowry's comments the other day, to me it felt like him saying, we need to do something. Like, we need to go out and make a move because this isn't good enough and this is not going to be good enough. And, you know, if he leaves in free agency, suddenly you're asking even different questions.
I don't think Masai Ujiri is picking up the phone 2 days ago because of what Kyle said.
No.
I think this deal was likely in the works for quite some time. Again, Ibaka and Masai have been connected for a while because Masai... behind the scenes, and you're starting to hear about it now from people who are willing to report it because I'm sure he was saying it off the record at the time, has long coveted Serge Ibaka. Like, this is a guy that Masai Ujiri is very high on. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He may have been kicking tires on him as a free agent if they felt like they had the money to sign him anyway come July. So from that standpoint, I think you have to realize that Masai has probably been approaching this for some time. And Ibaka's name's been out there for a while because Orlando's going nowhere, and he's a free agent at the end of the year, and he's likely going to walk. So they weren't going to re-sign him in Orlando. So you knew he was getting dealt. It was just a matter of where. And that, I think, has been out there for quite some time. So I'm not going to put a ton of stock into what Kyle said. Don't forget, DeMar said the same thing a week ago, too, that you know he'd be welcome to help.
Well,
yeah, we'd always be welcome to help. That's as far as DeMar was going, was saying, you got
to
make a trade. We're not good enough.
But to
and
your
we
point,
have issues here.
He's not a reactive type. Like, Masai is known for almost being too patient, being too, you know, the waters have to be exactly perfectly right. But that, like, I'm sure he didn't pick up the phone and say, let's make a trade because this happened. But I'm sure he senses that there is an undercurrent of discontent with his team. That if you don't deal with it, what are you doing?
You'd have to, because I mean, everyone knows the fall has been, or the sky has been falling in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like the Raptors have been a mess for a month and a half.
And it's concerning. Like, I mean, it's really concerning.
And make no mistake, just because you've acquired Serge Ibaka doesn't mean they're going to go on a run now. Doesn't guarantee anything. But what it does do, from my perspective, is it's an upgrade. It makes you a better team, and it puts the pressure back on the players. Okay, here it is, Kyle. Here it is, DeMar. You've got your big three now. You've got your third guy. You have more than enough talent here to make a run in the playoffs. And it's on the players. And I think that's what was signified today. I think that is ultimately what happened here, is that Masai is doubling down on his belief in this core, in believing in the depth of the team, and he's going to put faith in the fact that this is just a funk that they're in for a month and a half and that they can break out of it.
Well, and if you weren't going to put the faith, when are you going to put the faith in this team?
He had to do something.
Like you, right.
Masai has not done enough the past 2 years. Masai's been left off the hook, quite frankly. He has signed Damari Carroll, which has been an awful signing.
Yeah.
He signed Corey Joseph, and Joseph this year has really had his struggles. Mm-hmm. And he signed Jared Sullinger. And Sullinger was hurt, but then got back and struggled so much, he agreed to go to the D-League to find his game.
Well, and was on the verge of trading Kyle Lowry to New York.
Exactly. So Masai was, I think, also looking at this and saying, I got to supply something to this team because they feel lifeless right now. And that's putting a lot of pressure on Serge Ibaka. You know, this is not
LeBron
James they're acquiring. This is not Kevin Durant. This is the third best player on the team.
Yeah, but that's a guy who's used to being the fourth best player on a team.
Okay, so what does that tell you?
Well, it just tells you that he's been in this situation before. Like,
right.
He
should be comfortable. But my point is, I like the deal a lot. And I like the idea of them signing him long term, and I feel like it's going to happen. But this does not move the Raptors past Cleveland in my books, even with Kevin Love injured for the next 6 weeks.
But it puts you closer.
I think it puts you closer.
And either try to get closer or you wait 3 years and rebuild until LeBron's out of the league and say, now that's what we're going
to
do.
And that's why I'm on board with it.
Right. At some point, you have to push your chips into the table and play.
And these chips were not their best chips.
Right.
Like, that's another thing. Orlando's going to have to explain themselves here, because Terrence Ross is a role player who's getting paid, I think, $11 or $11.5 million a year. And they're getting the Clippers pick in
the
first round.
Well, they made the trade. They sent a lot to OKC to get Ibaka.
Right. I mean, I was surprised when I heard the news when Wojnarowski first tweeted out Serge Ibaka is on his way to Toronto without any details. I'm thinking, okay, clearly Powell's going the other way, or Poeltl's going the other way, or multiple first-round picks are going the other way.
So how does Orlando give all that up to get him and then just take that and, like,
Bad management.
Whoever's doing overdrive in Orlando?
Freak out time.
Freak out.
Right. Because, and the thing is, you can sell yourself on liking Terrence Ross. You can. He's athletic. He's got an outside shot. The problem is he's way too inconsistent.
He doesn't move your needle.
He does not move your needle. He's just a guy in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And you're getting a pick probably somewhere in the 20s.
It's just you need to get something.
Why the hell couldn't I have played in the NBA?
Oh,
11 and a half for just a guy?
Just a guy making 11.
We got a guy making 11.5.
That's the NBA. But that's how, you know, like their cap is, what, 90 million or something like that? 96 million? And you're paying 7, 8, 9 guys, and then the other 6 or 7 are just kind of kicking around on $2 million deals, $3 million deals, which is still a ton of cake to be a guy off the bench averaging 12 minutes a night making $3 million. But the Raptors are in Chicago tonight. Ibaka is not going to play. But I love this situation as well, because the Raptors have lost 10 games in a row against Chicago. No Dwayne Wade tonight. No Miletic tonight. Jimmy Butler, it sounds like he's 50-50. He may not even be going. This feels like symbolism on the court tonight.
Yeah.
You make a big deal to hopefully infuse some life into your locker room. If you're Masai Ujiri and Jeff Weltman, the GM, you're saying, here, we're believing in you. We're not trading veteran pieces out. We're bringing talent in. We're going to trust that you guys can break out of this. And tonight is a game that would mean a lot for this team, because for whatever reason, they have not been able to beat the Bulls in years. They've lost 10 in a row. Right? This is a perfect night. If they can find a way to win tonight, and you know Ibaka's waiting there for you when you play your next game, I think this could be very monumental for this team.
Well, Jeff, did you ever, like when you played, did you ever have a trade happen to your team, like where they brought a guy in and you felt like a bump in the locker room, like you could feel a difference?
Well, we traded Chris Pronger, an unproven Chris Pronger, for Brendan Shanahan in Hartford, and we were all thinking, we got to play, like we got a real guy here, not just a guy, like we got a bona fide superstar in the league, a 50-goal scorer, and that kind of excites the locker room. I mean, our team was pretty much not that good, but we were excited about that.
Right. Like, you could feel a difference in the room. And I think that's what they have to hope is going to happen.
Yeah,
now.
And we also traded Keith Primo for Rod Brind'Amour. And by Keith Primo was probably regarded as the better player, the more dynamic. But we were thinking, man, we got Rod Brind'Amour, man. This guy's a competitor. He's much like all the things you're saying about Ibaka. Like, just competitor, you know, the glue guy, and he was that.
Well, and that's what Ibaka brings. He's a very good defensive player. He can stretch the floor out on the offensive side. He can shoot a three. You know, he's not going to shoot a ton for you, but he can change up your offense. I mean, this is a guy who can really change your rotation. And we'll get Sam in here at 5:30, but there's going to be a ripple effect here. Like, immediately people are saying, okay, where does Valanciunas fit in now? Because for the past couple of years, the big three on this team has been Lowry, DeMar, JV. I think he probably gets knocked back in terms of the depth chart, and he doesn't get a ton of touches anyway. If Ibaka, who's averaging 15 points a year or a game this season, a career high, you're going to have to get him some touches.
But that's fine. Like, it completely gives you so many different options to your lineup that they didn't have. Suddenly you can play, I don't know, you could play Ibaka at the five. You could play him with Patterson. You could do all these different lineups that they didn't have before. And now suddenly, like, your crunch time lineup also could be better. Like,
right.
In certain situations, you just don't have to play JV. It's just like it completely changes their team.
They've got a lot of flexibility here. They've had depth even before the deal, but you're right. Now you're looking at a situation where Kyle and DeMar are going to be on the floor in the final minutes of every single game. But beyond that, I would believe Ibaka would be too. Carroll, Powell, Patterson, JV, Nogueira.
Well, I don't think their
There's
depth
a lot
has
of
been
options.
That as good as it was last year.
No, it hasn't been.
You lose Biombo, you don't really replace him.
Well,
you
know, and Patterson's been hurt.
Patterson's been hurt.
Like, Poeltl started at the four over the weekend.
Right.
You know, like, this was something that it was such a glaring hole for this team. And, again, I think it's a deal that it's very difficult to be negative on. It doesn't necessarily mean they're guaranteed to go on some run, but it's a deal that makes a lot of sense. We're hoping to get Masai on today. If not, we'll get him on tomorrow, or Jeff Weltman, the GM of the Raptors. But Sam Mitchell will be in studio at 5:30 today. Rays coming up at 5. Leafs Islanders tonight on TSN 4.
Massive, massive game.
Huge game.
Massive week.
At Columbus tomorrow. Then Ottawa Saturday, at Carolina on Sunday.
Yeah, they got a new phrase, play smart, play fast, whatever the hell it is. It should be win this week or you could be in big trouble.
Kind of feels like they're right.
Treat it like a game seven every night.
Please don't do the most important game of the year or any of that stuff.
But that's what every game is.
Though. I know.
Every game is.
I hate media creations. Like,
when you're in the position that all these teams are in, every game you are basically your scoreboard watching and it's crazy.
Well, and that's why this past weekend was a terrible weekend. Boston wins both their games. Ottawa wins. Philly wins. Tampa wins. Florida wins. Like, all these Islanders, all these teams around them were winning, and the Leafs lost against Buffalo,
both
a team you got to beat at home.
Leafs, both of my years with the Leafs, we missed the playoffs by 1 point. I had to sit in my basement with the Crown Royal watching Ryan Smith on penalty shots sink us against the New Jersey Devils.
Were you on one of the Dublowitz teams?
Who?
Where Dublowitz?
That's the year. That's one of the years. He was playing, and it's like, who the hell are you, Dublowitz? And New Jersey started their backup, I think.
Well, they had already locked in a spot.
No kidding. And I'm like, can't you throw Marty in there for one last game?
The irony that Lou screwed the Leafs back in the day, and now he's hoping the Leafs can find a way to screw other teams. But you guys were probably in a similar situation with 26, 28 games left.
All you're doing is
right
score
in the mix.
Third period, if you're like, you know you're losing or winning, you're just scoreboard watching. Where are we after the end of this?
Right.
Stressful, man.
Well, and this is a big wild card game tonight. I mean, the Leafs are lucky because of the division they're in. If you're the Islanders or you're Philly or you're Jersey, the top four teams are gone. Like, New York won again last night. Pittsburgh, Washington, New York, Columbus, they've already locked in spots. It's over. They got a 14-point buffer on any other team in the division. So the Islanders are not focused on the division. They're focused on the second wild card. The Leafs are lucky. They can still focus on both. They're only three back of Ottawa. They can still finish second in the division.
And don't forget about Montreal. Like, they're a little vulnerable, too. Not that they're going to catch them.
The Leafs are nine back in Montreal.
They're not catching them, but,
no,
like,
but
Montreal isn't looking great.
But my point is, the Leafs have three spots that they can focus on. Mm-hmm. Second, third in their division, and the second wild card. And tonight happens to be more of a wild card focused game because they're playing the Islanders. The Islanders are a point back. And the Leafs are currently in that second wild card spot.
And they choked their guts out the last time they played them.
And when they played them the first time in New York, they got smoked.
Oh, it's just been abysmal against the Islanders.
Right. Did you see that Mitch Marner was trying to convince people today that he hasn't looked at the standings once all season?
I have to say, I think that those questions are semi-dumb.
Like, I think it's true.
Why
would he say it?
It's impossible. You've been in those rooms. The standings are all over
the
walls.
Exactly.
There's no way.
Yeah, you're right. It's a lie.
It's a total lie.
Stat packs, like, when you go to the can.
Right. Like, I'm not saying he's on his phone at home checking it out. I can believe that. When he leaves the rink, he escapes. I think a lot of players do that. It's all over the dressing room. You can't.
I loved it. I love the cliche, like, no, I guess the lease before I got there, no papers in the room.
Oh, yeah, I remembered that.
You know, guys would be leaving that rink right to the paper machine and grabbing a paper.
You can't avoid it. If you're on Twitter now, and Marner's from Toronto. You know he's got buddies texting him, hey, heard the story about this, that, or the other. Like, that would be difficult. Like, just because of the line of business we're in, I get texts from buddies saying, hey, I heard this rumor. Any truth? Like, can you imagine if you were a player in the room?
Yeah, but
how
I think
often
the point
you hear
is
from people?
He's not just, like, on his phone, like, updating the standings after every game.
He's
going
to
know
with.
Where they are.
I'm sure that is the case. I don't think he's lying about that, but to suggest that you don't know or you're completely oblivious to it, I don't buy that for a second. So what, you could tell Mitch that they're first overall and he'd be like, yeah, I guess so, because I haven't even looked? I don't think so. Anyway, there's a lot of man move tweets coming in here on Valentine's Day.
Like bad deeds?
Yeah, there's a few. Use the hashtag man move. And again, our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza, they have hooked us up. We are giving 3 2-for-1 gift cards away, each of them valued at $100. $100 a piece. So we're going to give out
one
each hour.
But if you
went
and gave your lady a gift card for $100 for pizza, do you not think she would just look at you and want to punch you right in the nose?
Women hate gift cards. Hate them.
For pizza.
I think
she's just going to think you're the slob that wants the pizza.
That's the problem. It would be very transparent that you're the one that really is going to benefit from this.
It's kind of a slick
gift.
Move, maybe.
I mean, if she's tuned in, though, and she knows that you want it, you didn't even pay for it. That's a man move. Let's be honest. This is a man move. Getting a free gift card and probably giving it to your wife or girlfriend. That's a man move, wouldn't you say, Jonas?
I'm just trying to think what you'd write on that card.
Can't wait to have some pizza with you, honey.
You can get creative. I don't know. Tweet us your worst Valentine's Day man move using the hashtag man move. Tweet us at Overdrive1050 for a chance to win. So we'll give out one each hour. Ray's coming up just after 5. He's got the call tonight. Leafs Islanders on TSN 4. Sam Mitchell will join us. Raps in Chicago. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 2 tonight. So TSN has you covered. On the radio, TV, whole nine. Bobby Max coming up. Pitchers and catchers reporting down in Dunedin. A lot of things to get into when it comes to the Blue Jays as well.
I had some shade thrown on me today before I came into work.
What happened?
I was getting my hair cut, and there was this couch at my barber's with a TV. And ESPN runs this show with 4 soccer guys about the Premier League, and they shoot the breeze. Like, that's the show.
Yeah, I've seen it. I was watching it, I think, today, actually.
So I said to the guy beside me, I'm like, this show's weird. Like, these guys are just on a couch. Like, he looks at me and he was waiting for his dad, I think. He goes, that's all sports people are these days. They're a bunch of has-been losers, and they talk all day. And then he got up and left.
So he didn't know who you were.
No. And I was like,
did you agree with him?
Wow.
You have to agree with him in that situation, right? You can't be confrontational and say, who the hell
anything.
Are you?
I was just like, oh.
I think you got to say, yeah, you're right, and then just let it go. Don't
I
you?
Felt awful, though.
Yeah,
that's too bad he didn't say, what do you do for a living?
That's a rough description of your whole livelihood. Like, that's your world. Yeah. That's all of our world.
He's like, they're all just a bunch of has-beens that just sit and chitter-chatter all day.
Who's this guy? Like, what does he expect to happen?
I don't know, but I felt awful. I was like, what am I, a has-been that just...
talks garbage all day on radio, TV, whole nine.
You're more than that.
Thanks, Jonas.
Maybe he'll tune in tonight on TSN 4. All right, 2-for-1 pizza. They've got pizzas here, wings here.
I got a...
You're putting the Heisman up.
I trained today, pal.
Really? What happened?
CrossFit.
Okay.
And I'm not ruining it.
I haven't done anything yet.
Do Nothing. We have to get our update?
No, we're not going to do it every day. We'll do it every once in a while.
I think every day. We're going to take a break and we'll do it after the break.
All right. Well, you just said what you've already done, but okay. We'll see what happens. Ray's coming up at 5. Sam at 5:30. Take it or leave it trivia later in the hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. All right, we got some breaking news here, and it is rather significant. The Montreal Canadiens have fired Michel Therrien, and they have hired Claude Julien as their new head coach. So Julien is going back to Montreal. Therrien is out. And we were just talking in the break. That players and GM meeting from a week ago when Bergevin met with Pacioretty, Price, and Weber without Therrien in the room becomes very transparent now, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem pretty clear they went to them and said, do you want me to move on from this guy? Julian's available. Should we pounce?
Or are you sick of him or whatever the deal might be?
Right.
You guys don't look right. Is there any – what can I do?
Because it was way too telling. Your three vets with the GM and the coach isn't in the room. You got to think Therrien probably walked away that day saying, I could be in big trouble here.
Yeah. That's basically what must have happened. It's like, what do you want me to do here? You guys aren't responding. Are you sick of it? I'll tell you what, though. Berge is now, he is under the gun.
That's your card, right?
Well,
you play that card.
Subban was a card, and he's out of town. Very popular player, and now it's the coach.
You don't have any more cards.
No. If this spiral continues, and I love Burge is a friend of mine. I think he's a great hockey guy, but he is under the gun now.
It's what we talked about yesterday, man. We were having these conversations all day yesterday because the Habs are crawling into the break. They're on their bye week. Boston's on their bye week too. And as we discussed yesterday, you had to believe Marc Bergevin realized his job was very insecure. His job had to be on the line. You convinced ownership, PK Subban had to leave, had to go. The most popular player in the city probably since Patrick Waugh. Had to go. Okay. And you got off to a great start, rolling. Since 13-1-1, the Habs have been mediocre disaster. To below mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
And they are spiraling out of control. Carey Price came out on Sunday and said, we've lost our identity. The players, the three leaders on the team are meeting with the GM a week ago without the coach in the room.
That's a tough comment, man. Now that I look back on it, to say we've completely lost our identity. Oof.
And that's a guy who doesn't say anything interesting ever.
No, he doesn't say boo.
Nothing. Like, we talk about Matthews and McDavid and Sid and Tavares, how they've mastered speaking without actually saying anything. Carey Price is on a completely different level.
Well, he also barely speaks, from what I understand, too.
He's got no interest in talking to people. So when he is willing to come out and say, yeah, I think we've lost our identity, it's like when DeMar DeRozan said a week ago, yeah, you could use some help. When guys who don't speak actually say something, it is so much more valuable than when guys who can't stop yapping continue to yap. So much more valuable in terms of trying to seek out what is happening behind the scenes. I think DeMar DeRozan last week said, we need something to happen here. DeMar's comments were way louder to me than Kyle Lowry's comments. Way louder. Because Kyle talks. Kyle will say what's on his mind. DeMar doesn't say anything. And the same thing here. Carey Price does not say anything interesting ever. When he comes out and says, we've lost our identity, I'll bet you Bergevin said, I got to move right now. We got to do something here. So Therrien's out and Julian's in, and this is one of the biggest rivalries in the sport, Boston and Montreal, who have now just decided we're going to flop coaches.
I do give Bergevin credit, though. The timing was right, and you got an opportunity to bring in a well-respected coach. I always find it weird, though, how the Bruins had to get rid of him, but you have to get him. I mean, but there's still that tag of cup champion. I mean, he is once again another guy that has coached the Montreal Canadiens, isn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's five different guys that can coach the Habs, and they just keep going back and forth.
French Canadiens. Like, that's what it is. You need to be able to speak both languages.
Remember the outrage when they had Cunnyworth?
They would never do it again. Like, we got into these debates that they would hire Babcock, who doesn't speak French, although I think he speaks some. I said I didn't believe they would. I really did not believe they would ever hire anyone else again that is not bilingual. And that's what makes it a very unique... It's the most unique team in North American sports.
Well, you kind of cut out a lot of options that way.
No
kidding.
But
let me ask you this. I don't know if this is just like recency bias of what's going on. Do you guys notice more teams, like good teams, using this card? Like, maybe I'm just thinking of Boston and St. Louis. It feels like teams are going to this fire the coach, try to get a bump card more often. And maybe I'm just thinking about it now because it's happened, but it feels that way.
Someone, I think it was Steph, that came across the stat yesterday that there's been more turnover in the NHL than any of the other big four sports leagues, which surprised me because the NFL, generally every year, there's five or six coaches that come and go. What I also think happened here, and this is recency bias, but this is also what always happens in pro sports, it's a follow the leader situation. It's a copycat world in the sports world.
The response the other teams have gotten.
The Islanders, the Bruins, the Blues have all taken off since they fired their coach.
Yep. And it just took one, and then the domino effect came in.
And that's why if I'm like Glenn Gullitson, a couple other coaches, I would be thinking, Hitch is still out there.
Yeah.
But is it no smart? Kidding. Like, just because the Bruins have won three games, are we supposed to say that it was a good move? And like, same with the Blues. The Blues have won, I think, five or six or something like that. I don't know that we can say it's a good move yet.
Well, I think if you're determined to move past the coach anyway at the end of the year, and you feel like your team has become stale and you'd like to salvage a season, I think you can make sense of it. That's what happened in St. Louis. Hitch was gone anyway, and it just wasn't working.
No.
So, and I think Boston...
It was a last-ditch effort to get them on track.
And I'd say Boston the same thing. If Boston missed the playoffs, Julian was gone. Like, everyone knew that. He had been there for 10 years. He's a really good coach, but he had just gone past his expiration date.
But are you making your team better, or are you just trying for, like, a quick, short-term...
Well, Jonas, you're talking 22, 24 games. That's what it is. It's a sprint now.
Yeah.
You're not talking about a move in November.
Yeah, but then let's say you decide that Bruce Cassidy isn't your guy. I guess you just fire him.
You move on from him.
Yeah.
Now, Julian's got the pedigree. He's a great coach. Like, he will be the coach in Montreal. Believe me, he got a massive deal to go here. You know he's getting a massive deal. Yeah, this isn't Peter Horacek.
Oh, he would have to be paid right behind Joel Quenneville.
And Babcock.
Yeah.
I'll bet you he's the third highest paid coach in the league. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Because he could have said, no, I'm waiting to hear from Vegas. I'm waiting to hear from a couple of other teams.
But do we think they're that good?
Who?
Montreal.
I don't think they're that good, but I think they're going to the playoffs. And I think Therrien, that market could not stand him to begin with.
Oh, my God. I Googled yesterday. I searched his name on Twitter. All I saw was fans from Montreal saying, please tell me Therrien's fired. Let me wake up and see he's fired. Therrien, why didn't you? Like, that's all they wrote.
I guess you're hoping, like, you look in, and it's not the same thing, but, like, last year, Pitt fires Mike Johnston, hires Mike Sullivan, completely changes the team. They are, like, the best team in the conference second half, and they win a cup. I don't know. Maybe you're hoping for
that's
something like
that. That's the perfect example of a copycat league right there. Exactly what happened.
It worked exactly as you could hope.
And remember what happened the first time Pittsburgh won a cup? Who got replaced?
Michel Therrien. Is it Michelle or Michael?
Well, it's Mike now if he's working
Frank
in the States.
Nashville.
When he's in the States, it's Mike Therrien.
Nashville Frank.
So, well, now Therrien's a guy who he's back on the market.
Really? I think he'll be sitting for a while.
Well, he's
Randy Carlyle didn't sit that long.
He's coached in Montreal, Pittsburgh, and Montreal.
That's right. I think he'll be sitting for a while. You think the Vegas Golden Knights want to bring in Mike Therrien?
I can't imagine at this particular moment, but...
You know what he's begging for, Mike Therrien? Michel Therrien? The league to get to Quebec.
Maybe.
I don't know.
He's been a coach for a long time, man. I'm not his biggest fan.
I'm not either.
And I don't pretend to know all the X's and O's. I don't watch the Habs play every single night. So I understand talking to people that follow the team. He's not a beloved coach necessarily. But when you're around as long as he has been,
do you think
your name gets out there? Your name stays out there.
You also get labeled, and he just kind of seemed as the replacement that was the French-speaking guy that was.
But think about this: the Habs, they're spiraling out of control. They're still 6 points up on any other team in their division. If the playoffs started tonight, they've got home ice through the first two rounds, and they've got 24 games left, and they're firing the coach.
It's interesting the domino effect too. Like, if Boston doesn't decide to make this move now, does Montreal fire Therrien? Like, if there isn't this option out there, I mean, you're not hiring Hitchcock. I don't know. It's an interesting domino effect.
And the fact that he's going from Boston to Montreal. That's one of the biggest rivalries in the league. I don't know if they play each other again the remaining 24 games. They both have played 58 games. Wouldn't that be interesting, though? The Habs still have another game in Boston. Julian rolls in.
I'm sure they do.
Well, the Leafs have the Habs two more times, both at the ACC. I'm just getting carved on Twitter.
Why?
Because I'm actually here for big news.
You die for these moments.
But generally this is when I get sick. Actually, I woke up, my throat was on fire this morning. I almost pulled the chute.
For real?
I'm being dead serious. My wife has been really sick the past few days. I woke up this morning sounding like I had eaten a carton of cigarettes, and I was this close to saying I might have to throw a feeler out, see if we can get someone to stick around at 4. Imagine I missed out on the Ibaka deal. Julian being hired.
You would have gotten your car and came into work and said, whoever was sitting there, get the hell out.
I would have. Oxygen mask, whatever I had to do. We're giving away 3 2-for-1 pizza gift cards valued at $100 each today. You tweet us your worst Valentine's Day man move at Overdrive1050 using the hashtag manmove for a chance to win. This hour's winner is James Dark, at JamesDark44. He said he got a rose from one of his grade 2 students, brought it home, and gave it to his wife for Valentine's Day. Hashtag man move.
You got yourself a card.
Yes, you do.
You're going to have $100 worth of pizza.
So you got a rose?
It's actually $200 because it's 2-for-1.
Don't start with that. That's not the way it works. Just relax over there, okay? It's $100.
2-for-1.
2-for-1 pizza.
The actual value is $200.
You do. We're big fans of 2-for-1 pizza.
I had it on Sunday.
I know. You said that.
Watch the Grammys. Do you watch those shows?
No, I couldn't put up with it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, Ray, in about 20 minutes on this big news out of Montreal. Sam Mitchell back in studio at 5:30 on the Ibaka trade for the Raps. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
Take it or leave it trivia with the O-Dog.
All right, we got Mike from Barrie on the line. What's happening, Mike?
Ah, it's all good and you?
Same old, buddy.
You know how this works, right? You're from Barrie, Mike?
I am.
You ever go to the Rocks? Or what is it? The Roxy?
The Roxy.
The Roxy, the old... Sure, it's a legend in town.
Mm-hmm. What about crossovers?
I don't get around like you guys, but so no, I'm going to have to say no.
That's a no guy.
All right, you know how this works, right? Three questions, got to win some cash, or you have the opportunity to roll it into Friday for the big vacay and cash.
Let's do it.
With today being Valentine's Day, which Cleveland Cavaliers is out 6 weeks after knee surgery?
Kevin Love.
Yes, sir!
No idea why my producer tied that into Valentine's Day, but she did.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Kind of
and
mailing
I'm glad
it in.
She did.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
glad
his last
did.
Name's Love, so.
Brandy.
Which Maple Leaf claimed today that he doesn't pay attention to the standings?
That would be Morgan Riley.
Wrong.
They all don't.
Mitch Marner was the one that said it.
Oh, okay.
Good call, though. Riley probably would, but no dice on that one.
All right, last one. Which team does the newest Raptors, Serge Ibaka, play for at the international level?
That would be Spain.
Yes, sir!
Wow, I'm surprised Mike got that one. That's not easy.
Mike from the Roxy, you got two right, $100. You want the cash, or do you want to let it ride into the vacay?
You know, it's Valentine's Day, and my wife would never forgive me if I didn't try and go for the trip. She needs one. She needs one.
That's
love
some
it.
Stones,
thanks,
Mike.
Good man, Mike. Good luck, buddy. Stay on hold. Steph will pick that up, all right?
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
There he is, Mike from Barrie. Not familiar with every establishment in the city of Barrie, but...
Crossovers is a great place.
They had some great spots up there, man.
Oh, yeah.
The Queens, I think, was one. It was something Queen. I'm familiar with it.
Queens?
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was called, but that little strip downtown, there was some really good bars.
You can get your face punched in Barrie if you don't watch yourself.
Yeah, there's some gritty individuals up there for sure. There's a country bar there now.
And
apparently,
they hate city. Like, if you go up there and try to be the 416 guy,
they're not fond of you at all.
They will just punch you out.
Familiar with that. Race coming up. Sam Mitchell in studio. Claude Julien in. Michelle Therrien out. The Canadians making a big move. And Serge Ibaka is a Raptor. We'll start teeing the games up tonight. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.